My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor, and we are so grateful you guys are with us. I want to thank all of you joining us online. We're grateful to have you as well. And man, this is your first time. My hope and prayer is that this will become a place where you can you feel like you can belong, where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. Today, we're wrapping up a series called Custom. We actually stole the name from our student ministry, which is also called Custom. Yeah. So we're super creative. And we just firmly believe that every student, that every person is handcrafted by God, and that you have a purpose and you are here for such a time as this. That if God wanted you somewhere else at some other time, you would have been there, but he has you here to make a difference in this place. And so we're going to kind of talk about what God's doing in our student ministry. Today is called Custom Takeover, which means our students and those who help lead them kind of run the entire service. So from a camera operator to up here to a lot of different aspects of what we do on a Sunday are being run by students or those who help lead them. And I don't know about you, but man, how about this worship team that's up here? Pretty much all students. That's amazing.
So good.
Amazing, amazing. So I'm up here with our youth pastor. His name is Brandon. Say hi, Brandon.
Hi.
As you can tell, Brandon's, you know, just by looking at him, he's youth pastor because he looks really cool.
Hey, thanks.
Your cool shoes.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, your skinny jeans.
Yep.
Why do you wear skinny jeans? My jeans are skinny, but only because I just
skinny
keep
jeans
eating.
Are like a constant hug.
So we're gonna change directions today of where we're gonna go.
It's true.
That's creepy, bro.
I don't know.
You really like
they're
hugs.
They're more comfortable.
Okay.
It's a preference.
And you can tell Brandon's got a lot of tattoos, and so Brandon, I actually went out this week. And I thought, man, I'm going to get myself something that will make Brandon proud.
You didn't get a tattoo.
Yeah, I did. Well, besides the ring on my finger, I got something else. Ready?
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. Some of y'all thought I was not going to.
You thought he was going to take his shirt off.
Yeah, that was.
I'm just glad that
everybody
you can
else would
up.
Leave.
We're out of here.
So, Brandon, this is our second year doing Custom Takeover. Tell us what's different this year. What's been going on in our student ministry?
Yeah, God's been on the move at Custom. He's been doing some amazing, amazing things. Currently at Custom, we're in the series that we call Custom Live that we do at the end of every school year, where all of our student interns, grades 6 through 12, are actually preaching messages to their peers. And so we kicked that off last week, where we have 14 students preaching 5-minute messages to their peers, and they crushed it. It was amazing. They've got us running for our jobs. It's they're phenomenal communicators, just have a heart for the Lord.
Did you preach when you were like in sixth grade?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't want to talk in front of people. It was terrifying.
I still don't.
I still don't. 2 months ago, we saw two people radically healed in one of our pre-service prayers. One person needed surgery. They had seen a doctor. They were going in a couple days to actually kind of schedule the surgery and stuff. And another person had something in their body that had been there since as long as they can remember. And they were starting to try to figure out what it was. And so we just laid hands on them because they were really nervous. And we just prayed for them. And they came back the next week, both of them saying, we went in, we saw the doctors, and literally they can't find anything, no surgery needed. God is on the move. It's been awesome. This time last year, we were given an update on Custom, and we had about 40 students that came through the doors every single week. As of last week, we're seeing 80 students come through the door every single week that are walking into the hope of Jesus, and so he's on the move, bringing a generation that needs the presence of Jesus and needs amazing leaders. And then this time last year, we had 11 key leaders that would come to Custom. As of today, we have 26, and we're looking to add another 20 by August, and so God's on the move. He's doing awesome stuff.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So, Brandon, what's causing some of this movement of growth? I mean, to double in a student ministry is unheard of. Average church, they have about 4% of their what their adult attendance is what their student ministry is, about 4%. And you guys are running, I don't know, that's like 15%.
I'm a student pastor. I don't do math.
You do math, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. I would say, to answer that, one of the key statements that we use in our ministry is we're not a clique, we're a family. And that's something that we fight tooth and nail to hold on to protect. And so that statement is kind of at the core of who we are, along with community groups. Every single week, we do worship, we do a message, and then we break up into community groups, and that's the majority of the time that we spend. We want every single student that walks through the doors to know that they're seen, they're heard, and that they're known. Students are walking through so much in their lives, and one thing that they need is community around them that actually cares about them. As Pastor Ernest always says, life transformation doesn't happen outside the context of relationship. It's always good to quote your senior pastor when you're on stage with them. So I think it's probably those two things, the fact that we fight for the community, and then the fact that we actually have leaders and peers who actually seek to know each other and not just kind of do an hour and a half on a Tuesday night together. They truly choose to do life.
That's awesome. So right now you guys meet in our ministry center. If you don't know, we have a little building downtown Castle Rock, 310 Wilcox, and 80 people being in there, 80 students being in there, plus some odd leaders and
sometimes
all of that.
Sometimes it smells.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but that's about capacity in that building.
Yeah.
Because it's mainly for offices, and we bought it for student ministry as well.
Yeah.
We didn't think we would outgrow it this fast. What's the plan moving forward if we're having this many students?
Yeah, it's... like I said, God's moving, and it's awesome if you've ever been in that ministry center with on a one night or on a Tuesday night where it's just packed full of students. The energy, it's amazing to see it filled with students who just want more of Jesus. And what we know is that in Castle Rock, there's roughly 7,000 students, 6th grade to 12th grade. And on any given night of the week, only 700 of them are going to any student ministry. The student pastors all around Castle Rock, we get together every month. We're really connected, and our hearts are to go after the students. And so we know that there's only about 700 that go any given week to a student ministry. And what we know is we've got to create more space. We've got to create more space for more leaders to come in, for more students to walk into the presence of Jesus and to be cared for and to be discipled. And so we're actually really excited to announce this morning that on Tuesday, August 20th, we're going to be launching custom high school ministries. And then on August 21st, which is a Wednesday, we're going to be launching custom middle school ministries. So we're going to have one student ministry two different nights of the week so that we can create more space for students to walk into the presence of Jesus and into community with peers and adult leaders who actually care about them. And so that's kind of our plan, is to multiply this ministry. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of effort on a lot of our leaders and a lot of the staff, but we're willing to do it because we want students to walk into the presence of Jesus and find hope. So we're super excited about that. So if you're a parent, mark that on your calendar. August 20th, high school. August 21st, middle school. It's going to be amazing.
That's awesome. Anytime you multiply, there is a lot more work. There's a lot more sacrifice. There's a lot more money. There's all kinds of things that are engaged in that process. What's your biggest need? As you look at multiplication, you don't have 30 minutes to talk about all of your needs. So just what's your
point
biggest?
Point one, point two, point three, point four.
Yeah.
Our biggest need is you. We need adults who are willing to come into the lives of students and sit with them and listen to them and build relationship with them. We need adults who are willing to disciple and not just share their faith, but really to do life with students. They're willing to sit with them and be with them. Like I just said, our goal is to add another 20 leaders by August. And we fully believe that that's capable. We've seen our team over double in the last year. And so we need leaders who are willing to engage in students' lives. We don't need warm bodies to fill a room. Warm bodies aren't going to change a destiny of a broken teenager, but a leader who's willing to sit and listen to the whispers so they don't have to hear the screams, that's going to change a generation. And so our desire...
Say that again.
Which part?
We don't
want students... We want leaders who are willing to sit with students and listen to the whispers so they don't have to hear the screams. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a direct result of what we saw last week with the STEM shooting. And students are hurting. Students are broken. Mm-hmm. And we need people. We need adults who are willing to sit with students and not just be a warm body to play games, but really be able to be there in the ups and the downs and the brokenness of our lives. And one thing that we know, one thing that we believe is that this generation is one step away from falling away from the presence of God. We see in Judges chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. You can grab one of those, take it, you can steal it. It's totally cool. He's okay with that. Like, take it home with you. The verses will be on the screen, but we see what happens when a generation is quiet or withdraws. In Judges 2:10, it says, "And after the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done in Israel." And every single generation is one step away from this. But the reality is that Gen Z, the generation born between 1999 and 2015, is the second largest generation that's walking the face of the earth right now, and it is the number one unchurched generation. So we know that people are walking away from the church. We know that students are walking away from their faith, and we know that students are actually growing up not even knowing about the faith, not even knowing about Jesus. And this is, for us, that's unacceptable for us. When we have 7,000 students in Douglas County who are broken and hurting, and we have the answer, we have the hope to see things change. I believe there's two key things that we know to be true that we want to see happen. And that's the first thing is that everyone needs someone who believes in them. Everyone needs someone who believes in them. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. We've all been in that space where a group of people or where someone where they didn't believe in us, where they didn't like us, and they looked at us and they kind of pushed us away, and they didn't really accept us. They didn't really believe in who we were, the fact that we could actually do something. But when people actually believe in other people, and a group of people actually believe in people, and they're willing to do something about it, and they're willing to show that they actually believe in them, incredible things can happen and amazing things can change. Why don't you guys check out this video real quick?
Yes, you can do it. Come on. Yes, you can do it. But you guys just listen. Look at me. You have to hit it hard, though. You cannot hit it light. You have to hit it hard. Go. That's not hard. You touch it. Come on.
Everyone needs someone who believes in them. Everyone needs someone who believes in them. The sad thing is that the majority of students today don't feel that way. The majority of students today feel alone. In a culture where you can get on social media and have access to thousands and thousands of friends like that, loneliness, anxiety, depression, suicide is at an all-time high, but everyone needs someone who believes in them. And there's a story in Acts chapter 9 about a guy named Saul who hated the followers of Jesus. And he was on this mission to imprison and to kill as many Christians as he could. And on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the living God, and it transformed him completely. It changed everything about him, from his mission to his identity to what he was choosing to be known by. And he went from being known by Saul to being known by Paul, a symbol of the transformation that had taken place in his life. And he went from hating the followers of Jesus to being a follower of Jesus to preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. This was an amazing transformation. He actually went on to write more than 13 books in the New Testament. He wrote a majority of the New Testament because of this encounter that he had, but it wasn't always that way. The followers of Jesus didn't always believe in him, mainly the disciples. The disciples didn't really believe that he had changed. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a past, and I have a past that's pretty different from where I'm currently living. And there have been people in my life that constantly choose to look at where I was or look at what I've done, and it's affected their perspective of where I'm at today. And so that's kind of what's happening here with Paul, that he's changed, but all the people that he's trying to get in with keep focusing on his past, and they're actually scared that Paul is actually still going to kill them. And so they don't really want him a part of the group. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 26, and it says, "When he," speaking of Saul, "had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple." I mean, I get it, right? I understand this. This guy, he went from killing Christians, imprisoning Christians, to now claiming to be one and trying to like get in with the inner circle, right? Like, if I was one of them, I'd be a little like, I don't really know. Like, I've been there. But then it says, "But Barnabas, There's this guy, Barnabas, which the Bible actually describes as a good man, full of faith, and his name Barnabas actually means son of encouragement or son of comfort. It says that he took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. See, Barnabas knew that your past doesn't limit what God can do in your future. Barnabas understood that truth. That our past, what's happened to us, what we've actually done, doesn't limit what God can do through us in our future. When we look at this, would the story of Paul be the same without Barnabas? Would the New Testament look like it does without Barnabas, without this encouragement, without someone doing life with him, without someone pulling him aside, walking with him, and helping him navigate these things? What would it look like? And we've all probably experienced similar pains. We've all probably been there where people, a group of people didn't believe in us, where they pushed us away, where they really brought hurt in our lives. But what we know is that no matter where we're at in life, no matter what you're walking through, what pains, what addictions, what hurtness, what brokenness we're walking through, everyone needs someone to believe in them. I'd love to share how that's actually working out at Custom, and I'd love to have one of our high school students, Angel Arias, come to the stage. So would you guys give it up for Angel as he makes his way to the stage? Angel was one of the students that preached this last week at Custom Live, and he crushed it. He did an amazing job. Angel, you've been coming to Custom for just over a year now after walking through some pretty intense pains and hurts. And so my question is for you, what have the leaders at Custom and the community at Custom, what has it meant for them to believe in you?
Yeah, I think for me, like starting off like what Brandon said, I went through a lot of pain and a lot of things that just hurt me through people. And it was hard. It was hard to move on from that. I thought I was too, in the beginning, I was too focused on what I lost. And when you lose something, you want that back. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I was praying to God. I was like, I want this back. I want these relationships back. I want everything I had back. I want all that what I thought was good, I want it back. But God had a different plan. Yeah. He had a different route for me. And so what he did was he set everything up for me to eventually be going to Custom. But me and my stubborn mind, I was like, no, I want this back. God, give it back to me. But I didn't have that. And the miracle's not in what you lost, but it's in what you have left. And what I had left was my love for God and myself. That's all I had left, and some of the people that supported me in that. And so what I did was I had to pick myself up and say, no, I need to move on. And I was scared. I was walking into Custom, I was scared. I was scared, I was confused, I was angry. And I was like, how is this gonna work? How are they gonna accept me? I built this up at this place, and I lost it. How are they gonna accept me at this new place? Is it going to be weird? Is it going to be different as like a new kid? You know, it's just going to be weird for me. I walk in that place and walking into Custom, and I was scared, but eventually, not even eventually, probably the first time I went there, I realized that this was my family. This was family. I didn't feel any different. It didn't feel like I didn't belong. It didn't feel like I was new. I felt welcomed. I felt at home, and I felt safe. From running away from all these bad things, running away from all this hurt, and trying to get better, I felt safe for once, you know? And at 16, this was hard. And walking in and feeling safe, and just growing there, knowing that I can love God here and not have to perform. I can love God here and be safe.
Yeah, that's good.
And so in that, I started growing in Custom. I started making relationships. And through the leaders, Brandon even supported me even before I went to Custom. He never advertised going to Custom. I mean, that was my decision. he never told me, yo, go to Custom. No, he said, do what you want, but I'm here to protect you. I'm here to defend you. And so in Custom, I have a place that I know that no matter what happens, they'll defend me.
Come on.
They'll keep me safe. They'll keep me going. They'll correct me, you know, because I need that. I'm still broken. But in that, I have a family now. This isn't a, custom to me isn't just a place where I go to Tuesday nights to hang out with people. Custom isn't to me just something to do on Tuesdays. Custom is a family.
Come on.
Custom is my place to feel safe. Custom is my home. And I hope you guys can decide that here, this is a home for you guys too.
Come on. That's so good, man. Let's give it up for Angel. Bro, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're a mighty man of God. The awesome
thing.
Hold on. Yeah.
Can we point out he also has the coolest shoes in the room?
When he got those, I told him I was going to mug him outside and take them. So you're not that safe.
Apparently not safe at all.
And the cool thing about Angel is that he came to us. He was hurting. He was trying to figure out this life thing, and he's dove right in. And the awesome thing is now we see him doing the very same thing with his peers, with his friends, and then every single Sunday in our 4th through 6th grade room, he's back there pouring into the generation below him because he understands that there's something inside of him that God's asking him to pour out into the next generation. Amen. So yeah, amen. You could absolutely.
He also just stepped over a chair to get to his chair.
See, you can do that in skinny jeans. He has skinny jeans on, and he still did it. See?
He's constantly hugged.
Oh, man. So what I want us all to understand here is that God's placed something inside of each and every one of us. He's given something in every single one of us that we can pour out into the next generation, that we can love the people that are younger than us, even if we don't understand them, that we can pour out what God's actually placed inside of us. And so we've seen the power of believing in someone when they need it the most. The powerful truth that everyone needs someone who believes in them. The next truth that we see and know to be key is that everyone needs someone to believe in. Everyone needs someone to believe in. This is the Great Commission. Like, this is the last thing Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. It's that last thing. Everyone needs someone to believe in. Believing in somebody, it starts exactly where you are right now. It starts with the young people that surround you with right now, the ones that are hurting, the ones that seem perfect. It doesn't matter who it is. It starts doing life with them, and it's simple. It could be just simply showing them what it looks like to be a mighty woman of God, to be a mighty man of God, inviting them over and doing dinner with them, inviting them over to do yard work with them. It's okay. You can invite students over for yard work. I've done it. It's true, I have. You can take them shopping. Like, discipling the next generation doesn't have to be this hugely terrifying, scary thing. It's simply doing life with somebody that needs it. See, it's impossible for us to fulfill our calling from God if we don't bring people along the journey with us. If we're not pouring into people that surround us, are we even doing what Jesus actually called us to do? Everyone needs someone to believe in. What I find to be awesome is the circle that happens inside discipleship. And we just saw it with Barnabas and the circle of discipleship that Barnabas believed in Paul. And then Paul, 30 years later, is pouring into this guy named Timothy, and he's writing these letters and he's encouraging him and he's pushing him on to become this better follower of Jesus, this better man. And it's this circle of discipleship that we not only see in Scripture, but we're seeing with our students and we're seeing with our leaders that when we pour into people, we might not see it right away, but then over time we see them starting to pour into the next generation as well. In the third chapter of the second book that Paul writes to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, there's this charge, there's this encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy, and I want to read part of it. It's starting in verse 10. So 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, it says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering that I endured that endured to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So encouraging. "While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned continue from what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you believed it." I love how it says here at the beginning that you have followed my teaching. You have come alongside. You followed my life, my conduct, everything, the ups and the downs, the persecutions and the teachings, all this good stuff. I'm encouraging you because I've shown you, I've invited you to be part of my life, to walk with me, to go with me. And now I'm reminding you of all of that stuff so that you can go and do it. This is a perfect example of what it looks like to believe in somebody. It points back to the core verse that we use as a student's ministry, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set the example for the believers in your speech, in your faith, in your conduct, and in your purity. It's at the core of setting the example to younger people of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so the question is, are we willing to set the example and invite people along with us to disciple them and to show them what it looks like to follow after Jesus, to walk with him? But I get it. We see scriptures like this, and we read scriptures about Paul and all of these things, and we think to ourselves, that's great, but I'm no Barnabas, right? Barnabas, his son of encouragement. I've never been called son of encouragement. I've been called son of a... We're
whoa,
not going to go there.
Whoa.
We're not
going to
go.
Apparently, we're looking for a new youth pastor. So
stop it. I'm no Barnabas. I'm no Paul. Like I just go. I do my 9 to 5. It's nothing special. I come home, or I'm a stay at home mom, and that's kind of my lane. Or man, I'm retired. I've done my time. But the simple invitation to bring somebody into part of your life can change a generation. It can change destiny forever, and it can change not just the people that we pour into, but it has the capability to change us as well. I'd love to welcome to the stage one of our amazing leaders who does this so well. Her name is Brittany Gutterin. So could you give it up to Brittany Gutterin? Come on. See, the awesome thing is if we want to create a legacy that lasts, if we want to create a legacy that's impactful, we have to understand that it starts today. It has to start with this week. Are we willing to invite people into our week? Brittany, you can come stand over here. So Brittany has 4 kids that are awesome. She has an awesome husband who travels a ton for work. And then you yourself have a high demand full-time job. How long have you been serving at Custom Students?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. So it is possible. So my question to you is, how is believing in and pouring into this next generation of students changed not only you, but also the students that you encounter every single week?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I actually had a leader that continually sought me out and believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, and didn't realize until after graduation how much of an impact that had on my life, and really wanted to be able to give that back to somebody. And I know many of you here probably don't have that same story, but you can be that person for a student. When we were back over at Mesa, I was actually serving with a student in kids ministry and knew that she wasn't attending youth group because I was also volunteering at youth group. So just week after week, continued to invite her, and got to the point where I started to stalk her parents and sought them out, introduced myself, and during a conversation with them, they actually told me that they didn't think that she would ever come because she wasn't sure she would fit in.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's okay, because I believe in her and loved her from the moment that I met her. So week after week, just continued to pour into her and really wanting to make her feel loved and welcomed by me while we were just serving alongside, you know, every Sunday. And eventually she did come.
Yes, she did.
Super excited to see her that day, and also really nervous, wanting to make sure that she had such a great experience so she would come back. I know that she felt welcomed by myself, by Pastor Brandon, the whole leadership team, as well as all the students, because she started coming back every Tuesday from then on, and slowly started believing in herself and in her gifts, just like I believed in her. And she actually joined our student internship program, where you have to speak in front of your peers, which is extremely hard to do, and she crushed it. She graduated high school last year and has been attending CU this past year. She got plugged into a Christian organization called The Navigators, and was super excited to come tell Hannah and myself about it when she came back to visit one Sunday. And in a recent text message, she told me that if I wouldn't have continually invited her to Custom, she would have never been able to build the relationships, the leadership skills, and ministry skills that she did in high school.
That's awesome.
and that I was awesome. So I feel like one of the most gratifying and coolest things about student ministry is getting to watch your students come full circle. Coming from this place of feeling like you're not fitting in and not believing in your gifts to having this love and courage and strength in the Lord, where she's now actually giving back to the same ministry that had such a great impact on her by serving at Custom this summer. And her really wanting to make an impact on students, how we were able to make an impact on her. And it's just awesome.
That's so good. Brittany, thank you so much for everything you do every single week for our students. You're making a huge impact, and I don't even think you understand it. So thank you. You are awesome. Let's give it up for Britt one more time. We got to remember that everyone needs someone to believe in them, and that everyone needs someone to believe in. When these two things happen, we know that lives change, that a generation can change forever. And the awesome thing, just like what Britt said, is that those relationships can continue even after high school. And we know that as we're wrapping up this series, as we're wrapping up this school year, that there's a number of seniors in the room. And so what we'd like to do now is, if you're graduating from high school this year, we would love for you to just come up on stage. Some of you I prepped, some of you I didn't prep. But if there's any senior, we just want to pray over them as a church to be able to just kind of send them out, because we know that this next season of life is one of the hardest seasons that we have the opportunity to walk in. You can come up on stage. Come on. That was the cue. Let's give it up for our seniors, who I know put in so much hard work to graduate every single year. Here, you guys can come over here. Stand, go up here a little bit more. Up here. All right. As a church, would you guys just extend your hands? Would you pray over them as I pray over them as well? Jesus, we just come before you, Father, and we thank you for these seniors that are here representing their classes. God, we thank you for the time that they've put into this church. God, for the things that you've done in their lives, for the calling that is upon them. God, I pray, Father, that as they step into this next season, God, that they would step out in boldness and courage with you. Mm-hmm. Father, that as you have filled them and as you've directed them over the past few years of high school, God, as they step into this new season in college where there's a whole new world, God, would you surround them with community who knows you, who loves you? God, would they be steadfast, focused on what's before them, focused on you, Jesus? Would you anoint them? Would you protect them, Father? God, I thank you for the lives that they've impacted and the lives that they're going to continue to impact. We know that you have a plan and a purpose, and we thank you that they're created on purpose, for a purpose, one of a kind. In your awesome name, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for our seniors one more time. We love you guys. You guys can.
All right, so let me wrap it up just with a charge to you, an encouragement, but also some next steps for all of us. I was talking to one of the principals here locally this past week, and he was just telling me some of the stuff that's going on in the school. My heart was just breaking. Some of the things that these students are dealing with, I mean, I think we've probably all thought it as adults, but like, we didn't wrestle with what they're wrestling with. We didn't deal with some of the things that they're dealing with right now. The pressures and the judgment and all of that that comes with social media, and I mean, just more exposure. And I mean, it's just, we have so much power at our fingertips, and yet it's destroying so much. And so I was just talking to this principal about what we could do as a church and how we can engage more. And I mean, there's so much need, there's so much brokenness in this community. And the students here. We have one of the highest suicide rates in the country for students. And I don't know about you, but I'm not okay with that. The depression, the confusion about their sexuality. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And I began just praying, God, okay, what do you want to say to us? What do you want us to do? And I thought back to a conversation our staff had a couple weeks ago, and we just kind of went around and we said, when was the first time that you felt like God was calling you to ministry? What setting were you in? And every one of us was in high school. Every one of us was a student when we felt like God said, I'm calling you out to something different. And it was somebody that spoke into our lives. It was somebody that we look back on now and we may go, man, that person really was cool, or they weren't nearly as cool. Right? And it's real easy like sit there and think, you know, well, what can I do? I mean, I'm not as cool as Angel. I'm not as cool as Britt. you know, I've got all these different things going on. That's why I love Britt's story. It's like 4 kids, full-time job, husband who has a full-time job, and still makes time. And so here's my encouragement to you. I want to encourage you to do one of at least one of 3 things. Number one, I want you to pray for our student ministry. Yeah. And I'm not asking you to pray for it just today. I'm asking you to make a commitment to pray for them constantly. The future of our town and our country depends on it. Yeah. Depends on it. This isn't like, we hope to do something. This is like our future depends on the direction that our students go. So pray. Number two, get involved. Brandon already said they're looking for 20 more volunteers. If you served in FCA, if you've served in Young Life, if you've served in some other, then you're like, that's like cherry picking. It's like, if you've served in those ministries, you should be signing up today. But Ernest, come on, man. Like, the direction of our country and our town and these students depends on it. And so what can you do? If you're like, man, I've never served in those things. Whew, I got a free pass. No, you didn't. Because God may be calling you out. Yeah. Ernest, I'm 60 years old. What can I contribute? Are you kidding me?
So much.
Many of these students, they don't have 2 parents in the home. Many of them don't have grandparents or at least engaged in their life. And to be able to learn from a generation that's different than us is valuable, so valuable. And so if you're breathing right now, you have something to contribute.
Come on.
You have something to contribute. And then lastly, I want to encourage you to give. Give financially. We don't do this that often. I don't usually stand up here and present a need or anything like that. But with some of the growth that we've seen in our student ministries, Brandon mentioned earlier, we're going to kind of 2 different services, 2 different nights. And there's a lot of expenses that go with that. And so my challenge to you is, what if as a church this weekend we could raise 20 grand to help our students do some outreach stuff this summer, do some mission work this summer, and then launch us into the fall in a very, very healthy way? Imagine what we could do. I was talking with a different principal over the last couple of weeks, and he said, Ernest, what do you think has changed? What do you think is different now? What do you think we should be doing? And I said, I'll just be real honest with you. We've taken the church and God out of schools. And I know that's not your problem. Like, he can't determine what happens at higher levels. And I said, just give us opportunities. Like, let us just be on campus. Let us just hang out with students. Let us serve donuts. Let us get in and be a part of lunches. Let us take care of some of the meetings that you have and some of the food. Just let us be more involved. But the only way we can do that is if we have the finances. And so I want to pitch to you, what if we as a church could raise 20 grand this weekend? Imagine what we could do. Imagine what that would say to our students, what that would say to our youth pastor. We love you enough to sacrifice to see this generation grow, see this generation come to Christ and not feel so lost and broken. So those are the 3 things. Pray, get involved, and give. And I believe if we do those things, we're going to continue to see a movement of God in our student ministry. We're going to continue to see students come to know Christ and healings happen and leaders get engaged and all of that. And we're going to see a tremendous growth in this town that we've never seen in our student ministries. Yeah. That's my prayer. And my prayer is that would be your heart as well. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for all that you have been doing in our student ministry. I thank you for Brandon and for Jackie and for every single leader that is engaged in our student ministry. I thank you for those that are sitting in this room right now that believe their heart is being pulled. I thank you for them and that, God, you're speaking to them right now, Father, to get involved and not to worry about their schedule, not to worry about all these different things, but to just say yes. May our yes be on the table. And I just pray for our leaders. God, I pray for your anointing on them. I pray for your favor on them. I pray that you'd give Pastor Brandon wisdom and discernment. God, bring more leaders around him to be able to lift up the vision and to see what you want done in this place. Father, I thank you for what you've been doing, and I thank you for what you're going to do. God, we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.